morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I would like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how have you been?
Oh, keeping busy with baseball and the weather, dodging raindrops.
Absolutely. You're in baseball. I'm in the soccer mode. So, yeah. In fact, later this afternoon, Mia's playing first game of the finals for Washington Cup. So, hope they pull a win off here later today.
And well, if your kids play anything like how you do real estate, just give them the trophy now.
Well, we hope so. Mia scares me. When she gets into real estate, I think things might actually really take off. She'll think I was standing around. So that would be fun for sure. Of course, we have with us our in-house lending specialist, Mr. Mike Denslow with Home Street Bank. Mike, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Keeping busy and oh my gosh, my head's just spinning every day. It's awesome.
Good. Yeah, there is a lot going on for sure in the market. We always like to start off with our crazy celebrity real estate house. And this week, from John McKay's favorite show, Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
No.
But if you did watch it, McKay, the house that is the face of that show, which actually the
brothel?
Oh man, we could be in trouble. McKay, I give people my cell phone. Please try to keep it down over there.
Okay.
But the face of that show, the house that they use for all their main shots, is actually none of them actually live there, but it is the house they use on the show. That 7,800 square foot Studio City home has hit the market for a mere $9 million. Now I will tell you, McKay, not only has it been on that show, it's also been on other HBO shows, True Blood, Entourage, Rome. So it's been a house that's primarily been used for filming in the past. So kind of a crazy Italian Mediterranean style home, and the prices of these homes absolutely blow my mind.
Ridiculous. So,
but we always like to temper the crazy with a real real estate story, something that affects our local and national markets. And this last week, that was release of national housing start data. So March housing start data was really good. They were up 9.2% compared to March of 2016. So a lot more national building going on right now. Starts are up 8.1% year to date, and they were up about 8% each month this year compared to last. So single family starts are booking along greatly. So the nation's housing economy is back to building. And you'll even see this a lot of times. We travel to various real estate conferences, and when you go into Vegas and Phoenix and Houston and some of these other national markets, you see all of the national big homes back into these subdivisions with lots of models open again, and as they say in the industry, a lot of sticks going up out of the ground. So there's a lot of national building going on, and that data is coming out that trend is still continuing. Once again, I always like to give a shout out. I get my data from Elliott Eisenberg, who runs a fantastic blog called Graphs and Laughs. He likes to put a little humor spin on economics, and I missed that class in college, McKay. So
humor and economics, I know.
It's a lot better for me to understand that. Now, we always like to go along and say, what are people asking us in the market? And that's how we get our topics for our radio show. What are some of the things that are happening in our market? What are our clients saying? And then we like to relay that message out to our listeners. And one of the questions I've gotten a lot in this market from our buyers out there, we all know it's a lower inventory, hot market. And buyers will call in and they will ask us and they will say, what is sale pending? I'm driving by, I see a house I like, but I see sale pending on it. And I thought I used to always see signs that said under contract on them as another word. I've even seen some, they're a little edgy, that says you're too late. I've seen a realtor put that, and I don't know if they were trying to create urgency or what the situation was, but I've seen. So those are some of the multiple variations of signs that you will see out there. You'll also see this on some websites. So I said, gosh, maybe I should go over a little bit what some of these realtor vocabulary is and what these statuses mean to the consumer. So the first one, that there's about 9 different status that can be changed in the computer. The first one is the most obvious, but in this market, it can be a little scary, and that is active. Okay, so that means there should not be a binding offer at all. That listing is 100% active. But the other thing I wrote down is, in this market, you should check to be sure, because if it is a property that is a hot property and there's been a lot of calls on it, it could still be active in the computer, but there could be a binding contract on it. I mean, let me give you a great example of that in this market. You put something on the market, for instance, we had a home last week. It was in the pick three. It was Rainier. It was under 200,000. I said it's going to sell.
I remember that one.
Yeah, I was right. 4 offers, you know, that one went penny. But something like could go down like this with an active property. You get the offers, you review the offers, but there's a change that needs to be made. So you go ahead and you make that change to the contract and you send it back to the buyers to sign. Now, if you're an agent that has, you know, a life or a family, you might, once you do that, say it's a Saturday or a Sunday, you might go to the movies. And you might not have your cell phone with you. And you might, you know, grab a bite to eat and go to the movies. So there could be a 3 or 4 hour block there where you don't have your phone with you and you're not by a computer. Well, what happens is, if that contract gets signed by the buyer, that counteroffer, and sent back to the email of the listing agent, then that contract is now, it's not active anymore. That property is now, it's going to go into a different status of pending. But in the computer, while all this is happening, there could be a 3 hour time period there. The other agent has no idea what's going on, that unless they call, which is one of the things I'm going to suggest, is that people are checking those statuses before going to see those properties. And a lot of the best agents right now are calling us and saying, hey, you got that listing on Rainier? Before I go show it, is it really active or not? Because then what happens is, they can show it. They could have their laptop with them. They could bust out a contract. And while you're at the movies waiting for a counteroffer to come back, now you've got a fifth offer. And maybe that offer never even had a chance. So in this market, even when something says active, I say still call and check to be sure.
Due diligence.
There could be a chance that that computer was not changed right away. Now, the next status to go over is not so obvious, and people always have questions about this, and it's a mouthful. The second status in the MLS that properties can be changed to is active under contract with a bump. Okay, that's a mouthful for sure. There's a lot going on there. And they redid these in the last year or two, so there's some changes there. So, active under contract with the bump. So, what that says is that this property is still being marketed as active, but there is a pending contract on it. There is a fully signed around pending contract, and that's where under contract comes from. However, that signed around contract has a clause in it that usually it is a home sale contingency. That signed around contract has a clause in it that says, hey, new buyer, you can kick this other contract out of position. You can remove them from. So if they could write a deal up, there's $200,000 house, they really like it. They say, yes, I will pay you $200,000 for your house, but I need it contingent upon selling. my smaller Rambler in West Pasco for $130,000. In this market, you're going to see that a lot more. People used to be hesitant to accept contingent offers because they never knew, is my property really sold? Is the other person's house going to sell? In this market, if the other person, say, has a $130,000 or $140,000 Rambler to sell, that's going to be almost like gold. So they'll take a contingent offer and say, yeah, you know what? If you get your other house sold in West Pasco in the next 10 days, yeah, we'll take your offer. Now, what happens is if buyer number two comes along, their cash buyer, or even if they have financing, they don't have a house to sell. So there's not a bumpable contingency. They can write up an offer for the same price or more even. Maybe they go over list to try to get the seller to take their offer. And if acceptable, then the seller can accept buyer number two's offer. They have to give notice to buyer number one. You have to remove all your contingencies or sell your house in the next. It can be negotiated from 24 hours to 5 days. So if they don't get that done, then that first place contract gets bumped out. So that's the second status that we have. Now, the problem is with some of this is it's an emotional roller coaster sometimes for people. So you have to be somewhat aware of the situation you're going into. It's highly likely in this market, if that contingent property is a decent house, it's going to sell in the next 1, 2, or 3 days, especially if it's priced right. So you're going to put an offer in on a house. You might get your hopes up, and then they sell the contingent property. Or maybe the first buyer was a very savvy buyer, and they wrote the offer contingent for safety, but they really didn't have to be contingent. Meaning that when push comes to shove, if they get put in a position to be bumped out, they can just waive all their contingencies and still move forward and buy the home. And so you don't have access to that information. You do have access to the status, but you never know exactly what the whole story is on the back end of that. So that is another potential status where you could still potentially get the house. And there's in this market, buyers, when they're having trouble finding enough properties to look at, these are some advanced strategies that they're looking at with the different status that is out there. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk to Mike Denslow about some of his vocabulary and what the heck mumbo jumbo he's talking about over there on the lending side. And I'm going to talk about a few more statuses that are very important to decide if you should go ahead and write a backup offer.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking about some different vocabulary that you see out there in the real estate market, some status that you see popping up and signs you might not have heard of or know exactly. People will call us all the time and say, what does sale pending mean? How far along are they in the process? And so I really thought about it and I said, gosh, I called Mike and I said, hey, here's what I think I want to do for real estate portion of the side. Why don't you give me a little education on the lending side for some of the stuff you come across in those same type of questions. So I'm going to turn it over to Mike Denslow.
Thanks, Lance. Big thing on our end is, are you pre-approved or not? You get that, right, Lance?
I get that all the time. In fact, we ask that all the time to people.
Yeah, so sometimes, hopefully this is years ago and there isn't lenders still doing this, is, you know, yeah, I talked to them on the phone and they sound good and they've got pulses. And they're pre-approved. And those days are gone.
Right. Good. Thank you.
There really isn't, to me, a status other than pre-qualified. Because these days, what that means to us, and the National Association of Realtors has wanted to clarify what these things mean. And pre-qualified means that we've run credit, we've looked at their income and asset documentation, and we have run them through our software, which ties in with FHA, VA, and Fannie Mae, and everything looks good. The only way to improve upon that is to actually have an underwriter review the documentation, and that takes pre-qualified to pre-approved. If you talk to somebody on the phone and you know they say it sounds good, that's still nothing. I mean, you need to sit down with a loan officer and have them pull credit and see documentation, and that's what takes it from nothing to something.
Gotcha. Well, that makes sense. And then, I mean, because people are writing real life offers that affect people's lives and schedules and stuff, you want to know that buyer is in a position to make that decision.
And where the difference, a lot of people don't understand what's the difference between the national lender, you know, on an 800 number that advertises all the time on TV and local lenders is accountability. That and reputation within your market and our market here in Tri-Cities. So if somebody calls up Lance and says, hey, I'm pre-approved with this national company, that company is not concerned with their local reputation. I mean, they might have a bad reputation locally, and they're still doing lots of loans out there across the country. But if you go with a local lender like Home Street and you come in and you meet with somebody, you know, let's say you got questions, you can't get a hold of somebody. Well, you can come into the office, and all of the agents know. I mean, all the real estate agents, Kenmore team, and everyone else, they know the reputations of the local companies as well. So
it's a huge difference, Mike. And I always bring it back to this. And some people think it's just too old school of a mentality, and it's not the technological answer. But the problem is when you have a moving truck there on Friday. And a national lender says to me, we didn't quite get to that file. It looks like docs are going to go out Monday. No big deal. Sorry, we're a day or two late. You know, I have a freak out on the phone because that client is in my office. And if they're, and Mike knows too, if the docs aren't out on the loan, they're going to drive from my office over to Mike's office and have the U-Haul in his parking lot.
Accountability. Accountability.
That's the accountability. and the national, you know, it's harder because the national no-name brand. I mean, for them, it's just a weekend. It's no big deal. But for us, it's real people eyeball to eyeball sleeping in the U-Haul truck.
And no one's going to show up at their office. So that's where I think you have much improved quality with local lenders. We talk about it all the time in our sales meetings at Home Street. Is, you know, everything is keyed off the close date, and we go backwards from there. If this is the close date, then we need to have this done by this time and this done by this time. And so you have all these, I mean, the schedule already laid out, and you know in advance. And hey, if something's going to miss, the appraiser couldn't get into the house, there was confusion on getting in or whatever, you raise your hand at that moment and say, hey, our schedule is off because this happened. But you're letting people know, you know, hopefully weeks in advance.
No, that's good. That's good, good information and stuff you don't always realize is happening when you don't know the industry.
Yeah, and it seemed that a lot of people want to make it a commodity, you know, a loan as a commodity, and it's just, and oh, the computers run everything and push button, right? And it's
like, if you're dealing with a local lender, hey, I'm dealing with Fred. Fred knows me, my house, my loan. You can't call, you know,
whatever,
Reptile Mortgage Company and ask for Amy, who?
Yeah.
Whatever.
No, you're exactly right, and it makes a big difference. And I appreciate Mike and his team for being available to do that and help answer those questions. And I know the other thing that happens too is a lot of times there's an education piece to what you do where people don't even know what their ability is.
Well, the comfort level from being able to come in and sit down across from me, I had a young couple come in last week, and they sat down and they didn't know what they could get approved for. They didn't really know where their budget should even be. They didn't know this, that. And we went through, we spent an hour and basically just went through and tried to figure out the best possible solution for them. I normally try to give people at least a couple ideas of how to put it together. And with credit and income and sell a house and where you're going to live while the next house is getting built. And, you know, it's just, it's very rewarding experience to see them kind of light up that, okay, hey, yeah, this makes sense.
Gosh, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah, it's very, very rewarding.
Good. Good, good information coming out of there. Mike, thanks for all the pre-approvals and those statuses that you've been doing with our clients. I know there was quite a few over the last 2 weeks, and so we really appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm on the bat phone with Holly.
I love it. That's awesome. We've also got, as always, some great property. Like I said, many of the properties we went over in the pick three last week ended up selling still in multiple offer position. This week, some brand new inventory. 3505 North Goose Gap. This is out in Bend City. Now, this is a three-bedroom, two-bath on 2.5 acres. 2250 square feet. You've got a covered front porch, formal living and dining, two fireplaces, big kitchen. Master suite has a walk-in closet with awesome custom organization. Really, really nice place. Then you've got big second bedrooms. And then additional living and flex space out in a detached studio apartment, complete with the kitchen and its own bathroom. So this place is just dialed in out in Bend City.
Don't they call that a mother-in-law house?
Yes, yes. Although I was trying to be nice, McKay, because I led with, you know, studio. So we don't want to say we put her out there. So we've also got a large shop. Great water features, pastures, and garden area. This place is coming in at $365,000. Okay, pick number two. This is a price point that is hard, hard to find. $144,900. This is in Central Kennewick, 2005 West 2nd. Four bedroom, two bath home, 1212 square feet. Bright living room, nice kitchen, master bedroom with its private bathroom. So master bathroom. That there's actually a master bathroom in 1,200 square feet, and it's $144,900. That's 2005 West 2nd Avenue. It's hard to find anything now in that price point.
Like $1,500, and we have a small master bathroom.
Lance, that's probably going to be gone by the end of the show.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, that's a good one for sure. And then pick number three, also fantastic. West Pasco location, four bedroom, three bath with a bonus room. This is the 2,032 square foot model. Open layout, spacious living room, corner gas fireplace, private master suite with walk-in closet, great family room, flex space, fully fenced backyard. And that's coming in at $247,500. So some of that just awesome spring inventory, great, great homes are coming on the market. I will say, though, it is still very, very competitive. All three last week that we put on towards the end of the week that were under $200,000 all had more than three offers on them. So it's still very, very competitive. Please go to kenmoreteam.com. Shoot us a message if you want to be on that list to get notification of these right when they hit the market. Let us know. Before the break, we went over some status and what that means to a buyer. Are they out of the game or should they consider a backup offer? The next status that sometimes people look at is, once a contract has been placed on the house, it will generally go into what our system calls pending inspection / feasibility. So what that means is now that is a non-bumpable contract. They have a fully bindable purchase and sale agreement on that property, but there is a contingency. And there is still an inspection contingency and more than likely a financing contingency on that. So a lot of people will look at that and say, that contract, it can't be bumped. So even if you come in with a better offer, you can't bump that contract out of place. But you can put in a backup offer in what's called first position backup.
So if the first one falls through?
Yeah. So if the first one fell through, let's say they found some things during the inspection that the buyer did not like, the seller was unwilling to repair them, you can already have a junior position offer that is a bindable contract that as soon as the first one cancels, the junior offer moves into that first position. Now, there's some strategy here, right, a little bit for a buyer, okay? So if a buyer's found just that absolute perfect house that they absolutely love, but they were a day or two late, there's already a contract on it, and the buyer said, you know what, I want to give this my best foot forward. I want that house. What could I do? You could let's say it was a $200,000 house. You know, it sold for around list price. Maybe they got a full price offer. You could put in a backup offer at 203 if you were comfortable with that. You're now $3,000 over the list price and probably $3,000 better than that offer that the seller has. Now, when you do this, the seller will probably kiss you and they will love you. And why is that? Because they are going to go into an inspection negotiation with their first buyer, knowing that if that deal falls apart, they have another deal that's netting more money. So what's likely to happen then is one of two things. Either that deal is going to potentially fall apart, or the seller is going to play hardball on those inspection items and not fix any of them.
Because they know they have a backup.
Because they know they have a backup offer. So there are some instances when a buyer will push for this. And now this is a very, very advanced technique that I've also glossed over some of the other things that can potentially happen. You have to make sure your earnest money is protected. You also, like we talked about before the break, when you get into these situations, they can become very emotional. So you have to be able to, with your agent, have some sort of detachment from that situation, because the chances of that happening are lower, much, much lower, right? So when you, if you know the information ahead of time and you go into that situation with an open mind of what could happen, then that might be the right choice for you, or it might totally be absolutely the wrong choice for you. Mm-hmm. You might just say, that's too much. I'm not up for that. Maybe the house doesn't mean that much to you. But these are a couple things you can do when you say, gosh, have I done everything I possibly could to potentially get that house. So those are a couple options for you to look at that has to do with status.
And once again, reminded of, why would you ever do a FSBO?
Well, there's a lot. Like you say, there's a lot of scenarios and situations where I'll talk with people and we'll sit down with them and they'll look and they'll be like, oh my gosh, do people really do that? Or they'll say like, you're crazy, or I never would have thought of that, or or they'll say, are you, that just sounds mean, you know? But you're balancing these things of, you know, what are my contractual duties to you? What are my agency duties that the law requires to you to explain these situations, to explain your options? And sometimes, you know, there's a line there where you have to explain those options, and then the client just says, yeah, that's not for me, or I'm not going to do that. But knowing what those options are and when to execute on those can come down to a simple thing such as the status on the website or the status in the MLS. If you need any help at all figuring out what all this means, asking additional questions, or looking at properties, please reach out to us at kenmoreteam.com. And on the lending side of things, Mike, how can people get a hold of you at Home Street?
The main line at Home Street is 572-3650. My email is mike.denslow@homestreet.com.
And we'll be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.